Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 62 through chapter 28, verse 10. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that impostor that he said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Therefore command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he has been raised from the dead, and the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." As they unlatched the locked door and crept from the upper room where they had been hiding, they could hear the apostles stirring in their uneasy slumber. The two Marys crept down the stairs and stepped out onto the street, where the darkness of pre-dawn weighed heavily upon their hearts. As they crept quietly along the empty street, the silence was broken only by the rustle of dried palm branches beneath their feet, which lay abandoned upon the ground. Treading upon the abandoned palms, they recalled that day of his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The remembrance of it weighed down their hearts even further. For 3 years they had followed him and provided for him. For 3 years they had watched him and listened to him. For 3 years, he had spoken words of healing, saying to the leper, "Be made clean," calling Lazarus back from the dead, words of power, casting out demons, commanding the very sea to be still, words of forgiveness, declaring to the paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven," telling Mary herself, "Neither do I condemn you." His words seemed to be words of life, offering comfort, offering promise, offering hope. So the two Marys had followed him from Galilee to Jerusalem, providing for him. Along the way, when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" they heard Peter speak the words, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." On that day when he entered Jerusalem, the crowds had filled the streets, waving palms and crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna." In that moment, it had seemed that all of Jerusalem understood what they had come to understand, that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior, the Holy One of God. Then, suddenly, in the span of a single day, in a mere 24 hours, everything changed. When the day of unleavened bread, the day of Passover, had come, Jesus had sent Peter and John to make preparations for himself and the 12 to eat the Passover together. There they sat and ate the Seder together. He broke bread with his disciples. He shared the cup of the new covenant with them, and he predicted the betrayal by one of his own. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, asking, pleading for the Father to take the cup from him. Yet he chose to follow the path before him. Betrayed by Judas, Jesus had been arrested by the temple guard and taken in the dark of night to the palace of the high priest, where he was tried by the Jewish ruling council, denied by Peter, and found guilty of blasphemy. At the break of dawn, Jesus had been bound and turned over to Pilate. When Pilate offered to release Jesus to the people who had waved palms at him, calling out, "Hosanna to the Son of David," these very people rejected Jesus and chose Barabbas. Then Pilate had ordered Jesus stripped naked and flogged. Jesus had been handed over to the Roman soldiers, who dressed him in a purple robe and a crown of thorns and mocked and humiliated him before taking him to be crucified. As the two Marys walked on into the dark, their hearts grew even heavier with each recollection. Finally, the two Marys crept through the city gate to the road leading to the new tomb hewn in the rock. As they walked along the road, they could see the profile of the empty crosses against the moonlit sky. They stopped and watched for a moment. It was here, in this place, that Jesus had spoken his last words, saying, "It is finished," before breathing his last breath. It had come to a sudden, jolting, final end. The powers of the world had silenced him. All his words of comfort, his words of promise, his words of hope, were naught but idle words, now empty of life, for the speaker of the words was dead. In the end, evil spoke the final word. The two Marys feel forlorn, desolate, full of despair. Yet nevertheless, they do what they have done for 3 years. They follow Jesus. They follow Jesus even after death. They follow Jesus to the tomb where Joseph of Arimathea had laid the lifeless body of their beloved rabbi. The two Marys follow Jesus to the tomb to provide the needed spices for his dead body. There, they watch something altogether unexpected. Just as the first song of birds breaks the silence and the first flush of light illumines the dark sky, there is a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descending from heaven rolls back the great stone, and sitting upon it, the angel speaks to the women astonishing words. "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." After seeing it, they continue to listen to the angel. "Go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him." The two Marys listen, and with fear and great joy, they go quickly running to tell his disciples. Evil has not spoken the last word after all. God has spoken his word of love, and darkness does not overcome it. Indeed, God's word, God's light, God's Son has endured the worst that the world can offer. Jesus has endured betrayal, abandonment, denial, rejection, false accusation, the pain of torture, the degradation of public execution, and the separation that is death. Jesus endured all the suffering and sorrow the world could muster. And yet he came out victorious. For it had not beaten him. It had not overcome him. It had not silenced him. It was not, in the end, stronger than God's love. Before the two Marys reach his disciples, they are suddenly greeted by Jesus himself, who tells them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The two Marys listen and follow his instructions. In Galilee, Jesus meets the 11 disciples on the mountain to which he had directed them. There they all listen to even more astonishing words. Jesus speaks to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus invites them. No, Jesus commands them to continue to follow in his footsteps as his disciples, as his Talmudim. Just think about that. These fishermen, tax collectors, and zealots, these common men who had followed in the footsteps of the rabbi, walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus, eating with Jesus, listening to Jesus, watching Jesus, and imitating Jesus in all things for 3 years so that they could become just like Jesus and do what Jesus did. Betrayed him, abandoned him, and denied him during the last 24 hours of his earthly life. And yet, Jesus invites these fishermen, tax collectors, and zealots, these common men, to continue to follow in his footsteps as his disciples, as his Talmudim. And he commands these followers to live resurrection lives, trusting that in the end, evil will not win because their living Lord is always with them. In response, these disciples, these Talmudim, these followers of Jesus who had been afraid, listen to their rabbi and trusting that Jesus was indeed with them always, they went and made disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus had commanded them. And they lived resurrection lives so courageously and joyfully that the Roman Empire itself became Christian. And today, there are 2.4 billion people on this earth following in the footsteps of Jesus. Now, the thing is, Jesus issues us the same invitation. No, Jesus issues us the same command to live resurrection lives, trusting that evil will not win because the living Lord is always with us. So the question for us today is, how will we respond? with fear? Or courageously and joyously? He is risen. Honestly, 40 people this morning did it better than you did. Let's try it again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.